episode 120. Welcome to the Take Up Code podcast, where you can learn valuable insights and skills in programming. I'm Waheed Tanner and will be your host today. So you think you know how to use the date time struct in C#? You might be surprised. The best way to become a professional programmer is to start writing code. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. Have you considered attending a Take Up Code live class? Text PROGRAM to the short number 44222 and you'll be on your way. This episode continues the explanation of date-time data types. We're getting to actual implementations now, and languages tend to have very different notions of how to deal with dates and times. This episode will describe the C# version of date-time. C# provides a struct, which is a value type, called date-time, that implements various interfaces including iComparable, iConvertible, iFormattable, and iSerializable. Internally, it's just a 64-bit integer. That's it. All the functionality that I've explained in the last episodes relies on just 64 bits. And really, the date time needs just 62 of these bits for the actual date and time. The last two bits are used to identify what kind of date time this is. There are four options, although the documentation usually only mentions three of these. I'll come back to this in a moment. The majority of bits form a potentially really big number. What could possibly need such a large number? You see, the date time doesn't store its value in text. It doesn't store, for example, 2020-07-01T12:30Z. What it does is keep track of how many 100 nanosecond intervals have passed since midnight 0 hours on January 1st of the year 1 in the Gregorian calendar. That's why it needs such a large number. There have been a lot of 100 nanoseconds since then. Here's something I always wondered. Why the year 1? Well, it turns out that there is no year 0 in the Gregorian calendar. That still seems strange to me. I mean, when a person is born, they have to go through a whole year learning how to sit, crawl, and sometimes walk before the first birthday. But that's the way the calendar works. It brings up an interesting question. In what year should new centuries begin? If the first year was 1, then the second century should start in the year 101 instead of 100. Our current century should have started in the year 2001 based on this. What do you do if you want to work with dates before year 1? You're on your own there. You'll have to make your own class or struct to store the information. You probably don't need to worry about 100 nanosecond intervals anymore, so that should make it a bit easier. I'll mention also that if you ever want to store a date time in a SQL Server database, just be aware that SQL Server has a much more limited idea of a date time and can only go back to the year 1753. There's a lot more to the C# date time, including a recommendation that you should probably not be using it at all. I'll continue right after this message from our sponsor. If you need help with your programming, all you need to do is register for one of the Take Up Code free or paid live classes. You can attend with just your computer and an internet connection from anywhere in the world. There's room for 25 people to attend, and as of now, the 1-hour intro class is free, and the 2-hour beginner class is $20. There's a lot more that I can explain when you can see my screen and ask questions. Text the word PROGRAM to the number 44222 and you'll be on your way. You can also visit takeupcode.com to begin. Let's start with how you obtain a datetime instance. Your two primary methods will likely be the datetime.now to get a datetime representing the current local date and time, and datetime.utcnow to get a datetime representing the current date and time as UTC. You also have several constructors that allow you to pass in a specific year, month, day, hour, minute, and second parameters. Let's say you called the constructor that only needs a year, month, and day. What time should you get with that? Remember, this is a date-time struct and not just a date struct. If you provide only a date, then the time portion gets set to midnight 0 hours and the date-time type is left unspecified. What does unspecified mean? This gets back to the extra 2 bits that are used to keep track of whether or not the time is local or UTC. Sometimes, like here, when the time was not included at all, then the system doesn't know what to do with it, so it just makes the type unspecified. There are other constructors that do allow you to provide hours, minutes, and seconds, but unless you call the constructors that allow you to also specify if the time is local or UTC, then you'll get an unspecified date time here too. Whether the date time is local or UTC really only applies when converting the date time between local and UTC values. If you have a local time and try to convert it to a local time, then you get the same value. And if you have a UTC time and try to convert it to UTC, then you also get the same value. But here's where unspecified comes into the picture. If you try to convert an unspecified date time into either local or UTC, then it'll always convert it. It just assumes that since you're calling convert, then the value must need converting, right? That can definitely bite you. Then there's that fourth type that doesn't appear in the documentation. I found a reference that said this was used to help keep track of local times during the transition periods between daylight savings time and back. I'm not sure what to make of that, and here's why. The built-in date-time data type that comes with C# is usually perceived as either a big help or completely misleading when you need to work with dates and times. It doesn't handle every situation and can make silent decisions for you that may not be what you want. It has some serious flaws, and I don't think that extra undocumented type will be enough to solve the more fundamental problems. The fact that it needs an unspecified type at all is a big sign of problems to come. My advice is to just use the date-time type with caution and for basic scenarios only. It's also good for when you're only interested in a general idea instead of specific results. It lacks some features needed to be fully useful. The date-time struct has no concept of a time zone. Sure, it can track if it's local or not, but due to compatibility issues, Microsoft had to keep much of the old behavior from before the ability to track local versus UTC was added. And local to where? Microsoft tried to fix this in .NET 2.0 with the date-time offset struct, which allows you to specify a local date and time that's tied to a specific offset from UTC. That seems great. But how many developers know about date-time offset and how to use it? Most people just use the original date-time struct and remain unaware of the problems. And sometimes you just want to use UTC directly. Microsoft actually recommends that developers use the date-time offset struct for most programming tasks instead of the date-time struct. Even the date-time offset struct has problems because while it's good at specifying a particular instant that's clear exactly when it occurred, it has no way of knowing what the time will be even a minute later. That's because you need more than just an offset to know how time should be handled. You really need to know which time zone the date-time offset represents. Only then can you determine if daylight savings time is about to begin or not. For this, you do have a new time zone info class, but it remains disconnected from the date time and date time offset structs. It's very easy to get things mixed up, and many developers probably just give up long before this and go back to using the simple date time struct. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the other episodes, and if you get value, please give the Take Up Code podcast a rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a review. I'll select several people who take the time to provide thoughtful reviews, good or bad, and give you a shout out and a big thank you during our Q&A Fridays. Your support goes a long way to helping this podcast thrive and help others learn how to program. If you have any questions about this episode or even other programming questions, please ask. Just go to takeupcode.com/contact and submit your question. The Q&A Friday episodes are where I'll answer one or more submitted questions. Until next time, keep learning, but even better, keep doing. If you want to learn how to program, then start programming. And you'll learn and get better, and your mind will expand in ways you never thought possible.